Hello, everyone. Welcome. My name is Stuart Overman, president and founder of Overman Law Firm. I am very fortunate in that I have the opportunity to work with dental practice owners and members of the dental community throughout the country, and what an honor it is. It's a great pleasure that I made the decision to start a podcast series to assist the dental industry in different areas regarding practice management, as well as the clinical aspects. And today, we are going to speak with Pina Sadeer, who is really the premier, if not one of the best in the world, smile designers. And it's just extraordinary that we'll have this opportunity. Pina is a member of the Academy of Aesthetic Dentistry and, of course, the Georgia Academy of Cosmetic Dentistry. Pina, good morning. It's great to have you with us.
Good morning. It's good to be here. Thanks for asking me. It's an honor.
Absolutely. Well, first, for those who don't know about you or your company, tell us a little about what you do in the company and really what level you guys are at as far as success goes, which is extraordinary.
I'd love to. Well, I mean, I know we have a limited time, so I'll just do a very quick travel log of my past and present. But anyway, I'm from Israel. I came to U.S. at age 22 with $300 in my pocket. I was invited by one of the leading cosmetic dentists here in town, and he was looking for a ceramist. I'm a laboratory technician in training, and he heard about me and he invited me. It was a great opportunity for me to learn, develop my skills, work in an environment with multidisciplinary practice. His name is Dr. Goldstein. Some of you may know him. And it was a great opportunity to explore and see what my limitations are as far as my skill goes. So it was a very fun experience. Then I moved, after a two-year contract, moved back to California. Wanted to be an actor. I didn't make it, like many of them, because I saw everybody was an actor. So I came back.
I didn't know that.
Yes. So, I because I didn't want to waste my time, because everybody tried to help me, but everybody wanted me to do teeth over there instead of helping me with acting. So I decided to write my own script, to be the director of my own life and my own personal part that I want to play in. So that's where my journey started, really. Came back from there, opened my own business, and since then we've been serving dentists all around the world, mostly U.S., but all around the world as well, about upgrading their services to their patients at a high-end quality. And again, quality is very hard to define, you know, because everybody's an expert today, especially with the technology that goes on. Everybody's a cosmetic expert and this and that. And claiming one thing is okay, but, you know, results are more important than, you know, words, basically. So I'm not sure I'm an expert. I know I'm trying myself every day to be better than yesterday, so I'm never satisfied. So that's like I'm obsessed with my own improvement. And that's where I've been living all my life since I was a kid. So that's my blessing as well as the curse. But sometimes.
Now, you actually have a studio here in Atlanta, and then,
yes.
But you have clients flying all over the world to see you in that studio. Am I correct?
Yes. So we have clients coming for some of our dentist practices that operate here. But I also fly other states. And we also use shipping technology to ship cases. So we do serve dentists all around the world that way. And, you know, with technology, Stuart, it's so amazing now. We can be connected with anyone, even on our little smartphone. You know, you can do the iSight, you can do Skype, you can do – I mean, I talk to patients on Skype, on iSight. I mean, it's amazing how I can talk with doctors and patients overseas. It's crazy. So we are connected more than we were before. So it's really fun.
You also have the Adair Success Academy, which is fascinating. Tell the listeners about that a little bit.
So the Success Academy really, when I started with Debbie, my partner, is we want to bring and bridge the gap between what is success, first of all. You know, what is the definition of success? Because everyone has their own definition. And how to achieve those success, whatever that means to you, in a systematic way. Because we all have our definitions, obviously. And it's if it's in dentistry, if it's a personal relationship, or whatever it is, we found a way to share with them the principles, timeless principles. I didn't invent those. I actually live by them. So it's like I said, you know, actions talk louder than words. But well, we tried to share our experiences, what works, what doesn't, and why. Because I think everybody should have why, you know, why they want to be successful, what is success for them, and then we teach them how to get there. As far as the skill set, if it's in dentistry, we have really amazing processes that we come up. Every day we come up with new processes just to make it easier, more affordable for patients, more accessible, more predictable. So, and economically also, it's more attractive for patients to accept treatment because of those processes. So technology helps us do that. So we teach those principles. We teach them about human behavior, mind control as far as, you know, subconscious mind versus the conscious mind, and also the relationship, no matter who you're dealing with, if it's your family or your spouse or your patient. Because, Stuart, we are all in the same business, by the way. We're dealing with humans, and we are in a business of people. So we are in people business, and that's what we teach. Yeah.
So you obviously have a lot of communication in what you with what you do in for the dentists and patients. Is that correct?
Absolutely, absolutely. I think communication is the number one skill that everyone should possess. And you know, when I ask people, you know, when I talk to audience, so how many are you professional speakers? You know, public speakers. You know, people don't raise their hands because there's maybe two or three, right? But when nobody raised their hand, I said, listen, you all are public speakers because unless you are at home talking to yourself, you go out on the road, you're talking to people, the offices, you're speaking publicly. So you have to learn how to speak, you know, how to communicate effectively. And that's a missing link. You know, in dentistry, we didn't learn those techniques. We didn't learn those skills. And that's, I think, the most important thing, you know, between acceptance of treatment in your practice versus not, or how to deal with your staff members, you know, your employees, you know, manage different personalities, you know, managing challenging patients, you know, difficulties. So it's just communication is number one. For me, I'm so obsessed with it. It's crazy. I always learn. Get better and better.
So when doctor, you know, sends a lab case to you and you critique it, you know, how do you or what should be done in communication with the patients? What have you found to be successful as far as your end goes?
Well, I mean, we have several protocols. It depends on the practice and the doctor, but they typically use digital photography to send me on obviously on a secure line so we can get those reviewed. We have the study models, we have master models, and all the other information that we all need, you know, site registration. And once we have it mounted in a model, what we do, we go over the pictures and we talk about it. And I know a friend of mine, Christian Kochman, who has this a program called DSD, Digital Smile Design, for example. You can plan ahead on keynotes or PowerPoint, and you can work on potentially where the case is going together. And share that with the patient before you start a treatment. That's a great stage to talk about it. But let's say if they're in a stage of temporary and they're ready to finish the case, with the pictures, with the drawings, with everything that we have, if we don't talk to the patient directly on Skype or anything like that, then we talk with the doctor and say, okay, here's what I see. What do you think about that? You know, there's reference points, right? And I have the models of what they have in the mouth. And basically on the photography with their eyes, with the nose, the midline, the lips, I can relate to what I see and share it with them on the phone. And basically if the doctor is unsure about what questions I have, then they share that with the patient. I like to do it when we are all together. Sometimes we do that on conference call or on Skype or iSight. And that's also a very effective way because I ask specific questions. Questions that get you the specific answers that you need. You know, for example, let me give you an example. You know, typically when we do temporary, everybody does temporary, right? You know, for the transitional device before you do final. And you take them all, you send to a lab, and you ask the patient, what do you think about temporary or how do you like it? You know, most patients say, oh, my God, it's amazing. It's the best temporary. I mean, nobody even knows I got something in my mouth. So what typically assumption that goes on in doctor's mind is tell the lab, follow the temporary exactly, right? Have you heard that before? I mean, that's, you know, we got a blueprint to follow, the patient's happy, right? I've done it. It happened to me, so I know that that's why I have this story when I teach in my lectures. I have actually an example of a patient. How many of you had experience when the laboratory followed the temporary exactly? You tried the final restoration in the mouth, and patient looked at it and said, oh, my God, this is terrible. It looks like a temporary.
Right.
You know, it looks like temporary. And the doctor says, well, you told me you liked your temporary. So that's why we followed it. Yeah, but I thought it was just a temporary. I didn't know you're going to follow it. You see what I mean? So that's a miscommunication right there.
Yeah.
So specific questions give you specific answers. You know, well, what do you like about your temporary? You know, do you like the length? Do you like the width? Do you like the spacing? Do you like the staining with it? Do you like more translucent? Do you like more opacious? You know, there's so many things you can specifically ask. Eliminate all this guesswork. And that's what we do. And that's the principle I teach also. It's crazy because sometimes you're so busy doing what we do normally, we don't ask those questions.
Right. You know, from the business side, you know, what makes a difference in laboratory fees? You know, you got they're all over the board, and I'm a big believer you get what you pay for. And in your industry, and what do you see? What's the difference in lab fees? Is it quality? Is it materials? I mean, what are the doctors concerned about?
Well, obviously, with digital technology now, I mean, there are lots of people who made the prices so bottom prices. I mean, it's crazy because they say, well, digitally, the machine does it. You don't need really human touch. And, you know, and that's the way it looks. It looks like machine-made restoration. But, you know, in any restoration, machine is only a tool. It's like, let me paint that. And that's an example I use when I speak. Let's say the dentist bought this handpiece that is electric handpiece or air handpiece, doesn't matter what handpiece, and all the dentists have the same handpieces, right? It's a tool. Now, not all dentists will prep the teeth the same way, right? So the fact that you have a technology doesn't mean all your crowns or restorations will end up looking the same.
Right.
But what happens is the individual human touch, that unique interpretation of what you want it to be look like. So, for example, we do lots of full hybrid cases with monolithic zirconia, and that's the toughest one to do, by the way. But, you know, when I first started about 6-7 years ago, because I didn't know what to do with the zirconia because it's a completely different product, but I knew I didn't like it because everybody who did it, it didn't really look that good. It looked very lifeless type of piece of stone almost, right?
Huh.
And I found a way how to give a tender, loving touches to it to make it alive, right? Just like any other product, the ceramic powders. So I've been working on it quite a long time. But we also developed now what to do in the process, what to put in the machine. So the machine gives us what we want. That's one part. So there's lots of preparation. We don't depend on the machine. Machine is just like a robot. So we tell them what to do to give us what to do, and we leverage our ability based on the machine. But then when it comes out, then also have team members that train what to do with it so it has this life, to bring it to life. Otherwise, everybody, you know, everything looks the same. So we have to create an individualized look so it looks alive. And some of the things that you see we've been doing, we just delivered a case this week. I was in Cleveland. Man, the patient was crying. It was monolithic. Full arch implant. Even I was impressed. You know, I never seen that before either because I went there specifically to take film it and get testimonies and take pictures for my presentation. But man, when I saw it, it was like came alive, and the patient started crying. She was emotional. It was a great experience. But again, it's a product. We all use the same product, but the outcome is different because of the human touch. Make sense?
Yeah, oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, and if the patients are so satisfied with these results, you know, why don't dentists sell this more to their patients, the concept of what they can have? Why don't they do that?
Well, I think there's a fear. I mean, we all operate based on fear of loss, fear of rejection, we have what people think about us. I mean, there's so much bad programming that we have as a child, and obviously, you know, dental school, they don't teach you those skills. So, it to me, I think the doctor's responsibility is really to be the information trusted advisor, basically, right? So they have the connections with the right group, not just one particular lab, you know, just different multidisciplinary professionals, where they offer treatment options or alternative options to a patient based on upfront before they start the journey, right? And the patient's responsibility is to say yes or no, or maybe I don't have the money or whatever. But the doctor's responsibility is to tell them upfront the truth and what's out there. It doesn't mean they accept all of them, but, you know, right. At least you tell them. So you've got different levels. This is why. Educate them. I think that's more about education. And then the patients can trust the doctor more because they're honest, they're open upfront, not afterwards. Not like when things go bad and then I've heard some patients say, why didn't you tell me that before? Why didn't you tell me it's going to cost more? Why didn't you tell me that there's a better quality? Why didn't you tell me that? So, you know, in my presentation, I have this slide that says, you know, anything you tell the patient before you get started, it's called treatment plan. And everything that happens afterwards, it's just an excuse. And so many people come up with, you know, we all try to eliminate excuses, and that's why it's best to tell them up front. Here is what it is. I'll give you the options, just like if you were my family member or my wife or my loved one, because it's only fair to tell you the truth up front and tell you all your options. And your job is to decide which way you want to go, or maybe do nothing. That's okay, too. But at least you know it, you know?
On our end, we see a lot of, you know, on the legal side, we see a lot of labs cleaning up the mess. So
yeah.
How important is it to get you guys in early on these plans?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. This is one of the problems, you know, to do dental gymnastics, you know, like figure out how to solve a problem. You know, we are problem solvers, obviously. And, you know, the more problems we solve, the more we learn as well. That's how I learn my things. But I think it's the best to have all the disciplines that's involved in the case, if it's periodontist, orthodontist, or surgeon, whoever it is, laboratory, to get together and brainstorm together, because everyone has their gifts and specialty, and clarify this up front before we go any direction, put everything on the table, you know, mastermind, basically. And that way you have less mistakes or less obstacles on the way. And if you do have obstacles, at least you have solutions too. So you have scenarios and you can come up with it. Yes, absolutely. I highly recommend. But then again, you have to have the right team though. You know, I have some doctors who work with orthodontists who don't see the same thing they see. You know, they move teeth, but they don't move where they want to be moved, you see, and they go back and forth. Or they have a lab that they work, they don't see the same vision. You know, you have to have a like-minded people, team members that you assemble that you can count on. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
So the fact that they're a specialty doesn't mean they know exactly what you're talking about. So,
you know, a lot of dentists trying to play the role that I see as, you know, dental technician, and they try to do things that a lot of the technicians, you know, do all their lives. So tell us about what your thoughts are on that, and maybe when the doctor should take a step back and say, you know what, this is out of my area, I need it. You know, I need a dental technician to take a look at this, or I need their advice. You know, when to say when. Do you ever run into those cases?
Yeah, I mean, I think as a professional, you get people trust you more when you don't have all the answers. You know, for example, you know, if somebody asks you a question and you know everything, you tell right away, you find all the answers. That means you know everything. Like either you read it or you make up things, you know, maybe it's not true, I don't know. But, you know, when you don't know something, that's okay, because what he can say, and I train doctors because I coach lots of dentists, how to talk to your patients, what to say, what not to say. And the way my suggestion is, I would say, you know, that's a great question, Mr. Smith. You know, I don't have the answer, but I know someone who does. And then bring the technician or bring the specialist in the conversation. And when you involve somebody else, and sometimes you may answer the same answer, but they may not trust you the same way. When it comes from somebody else, a third party, it just creates a bigger, more stronger organization. You know, they trust that more. You understand what I'm saying? Because,
oh, yeah.
For example, eBay is an auction place, right? eBay's business model was on authentication and validation. That's what the business model is. you know, everybody who says opinion about their sellers and buyers and so on. This is what the business is about, and dentistry is no different. You know, when you have a team and you bring everybody get involved in mutual respect and you're sharing ideas, the patient feels, oh my God, I'm at the best place. Look at that. You know, it's not ego-driven. It's not the arrogance, like I know everything, I'm the doctor type of thing. You know, people are tired of that thing. You know,
yeah.
People want to be cared for. They want to be loved. And when you have more people and different specialties, you brainstorm and help the patient that way. Yeah.
I know you do a lot of coaching and you know, for the dentists in those areas. And so when you're talking to the dentist, you know, how do you explain to them overcome, you know, rejection and no acceptance or even losing a team member? I mean, how do you coach them through that?
Well, you know, there's, before anything can happen and you become good at selling or conveying a message to a patient or be a better communicator, you know, so many self techniques out there, right? You know, you can buy books on sales, you can listen to tapes, or you can go for weekend training or whatever. You know, everybody talks about sales, how to close a deal, how to say yes, you know, how to tell the patient to say yes, right? But the first person you have to sell to is yourself, okay? And
that's a great point. So the doctor's got to see it before he sells it, before he can see it to the patient.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah, that's the missing link because, you know, people can repeat the lines or what they learn at the seminar or what to say, how to present, you know, whatever, self-tactic. It's not going to work if you didn't sell it to yourself. You have to believe in what you do. You have to believe that the team that you have going to deliver something that is unbelievable, right? It's not something that you get for $99.99 and you try to sell that, you know, because, you know, it's like, I would say bad words in here, but it's really, it's not that good, you know? So you have to be honest with yourself and say, okay, what am I here for? You know, what's my purpose? What's my position, right? And, after, you know, do I have my best interest in my patient? I believe that
if,
my product,
you know, if the doctor doesn't see it, then the patient can't see it.
Absolutely. In fact, you can't fail. I mean, so many people are trying using the same lines, and they have the right technique, the right seminars, the right training, and the deal is not closed because they have this limited belief about their belief about that. You know, even if you have a staff member, somebody in front desk, or somebody who doesn't believe in what you do, that can be a rotten apple right there. You don't even know because you don't stand in front desk. But I've heard somebody who said, patient ask front desk or whoever working in the office, what do you think? Should I do it? Well, I don't know. I can afford that, so that's not something I would spend money.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And you don't know, the doctor doesn't know that. So everybody has to be on board the same way. I mean, the team members are so crucial in the whole equation. It's amazing. And when I train dentists, it's not by themselves. It's not. I don't train the dentist what to say, what to not say. I do it with all of them together. And one of the suggestions I had for them for the training to develop their skills of talking and communicating more effectively is to record themselves. You know, ask permission from the patient and say, hey, do you mind if I take digital notes? You know, and most patients say, oh, sure, no problem, because I just want to make sure I can hear everything you're saying and I can review that later on, because you can hear everything, right? And so that's way what happens. You record yourself in consultation, or the hygienist can talk to their patient, you know, just to see what kind of habits they have in talking or chatting, or are they wasting time talking about nothing? You know, you see what I'm saying? So what works for you? You know, it's pretty fun. So this is my one thing. Every time I train somebody, this is the number one thing that they have to commit to record and send me a recording, because then I review them. And then we have a meeting about that, because I want to give them the stretching goals, you know, not tell them how bad they were, but, you know, it's all good. It's just, what can we do better? And give them some scenarios, how I would say, you know, what better words to use. Make sense?
So, oh, absolutely. So what do you think is the number one thing to make a difference in getting patients to accept treatment? Is it once a doctor believes, then it's, you know, then that's number one? Or is it something else?
Well, obviously, we have to know who our clients are, okay? if somebody comes in, we have to find their why, you know, why they come to you, right? And that's number one thing, because if you don't know why they came to you, what's their reason, right? Not the fact that they need teeth or smile makeover or they have decays and they need to be fixed, but, you know, the main reason, purpose, why they want to do it, then you always can touch that emotional side of that need, okay? The other thing you have to find out as a clinician is why you? Why they come to you? You have to know about, I mean, it's not to brag about it, but say, why did you choose us, you know? And that's something that you need to know, because then you can magnify. When things sometimes don't go smooth, you know, and it gets rocky or something, there's always complication in dentistry. I mean, it's not new, especially if you do implants and stuff, but then you can always have the reason why they came to you, so that you can bring the trust and the reasoning. You see what I mean? Once you basically find out what's their big why you, and then the third one is why now? Because some people come to you, they need dentistry, they love you, they want to do it with you, but they never show up again, you know? So why now is important as well, because some dentists are so frustrated, you know, they give them treatment options, they say yes, yes, yes to everything, and then they disappear. A year later, they still say yes, but they haven't done anything. And they don't know why. They think it's prizes. They think it's this. I mean, it's never about money. It's about other reasons. So you have to find out the reason. Why now and why not now? Okay?
You've often said that treatment acceptance is 90% communication and 10% clinical skills.
Yes.
Do you believe that it's so important?
I believe that. I mean, I think obviously we have to be very capable clinicians to deliver what we say we're going to deliver. That's one thing. I believe in that because, I mean, I have to be proud of what we're delivering. That's one part. But most patients do not understand your abilities or explanation about clinical side because most of them, they have no clue. The only thing, the clue they have is they want to be loved, they want to be cared for, they want to feel special. And obviously the final product has to be looking at what they want, but that's the sad point. It's just the way you treat them, the way you make them feel.
Yeah.
I think that's the key. I think that's any business, not just industry. I think that's, you know, you're not a number. In fact, I interview a bunch of patients this week when I was on different Cleveland client of mine in Cincinnati. And I ask them questions because I want the doctors to learn what kind of questions to ask them too. And everybody can do that. The question is, you know, what brought you here? Why did you choose this practice versus others? Have you considered others? You did your homework. And what kind of experiences do you have? So those specific questions just illustrated why they made the decision to be at the doctor of that was filming, right? And one of the things, and I want the doctor to hear it because then he'll find what is his edge. Because, you know, when you talk about marketing, what are you marketing? If you say, I'm the best dentist, I'm the best lab, I'm the best multidisciplinary practice, people don't know what that means. But if you ask the patients that are happy and they went through different processes and they try others, and they tell you why they came to you, what did it for them to you know, pay you that much money to do the work and trust you, that's your selling proposition. But people don't hear this. They say, thank you for the compliment, you know. But listen to them very carefully because they tell you what makes you different. The patients tell you. But if you don't ask, you'll never know.
That's strong. That is strong. That is strong.
Thank you.
Well, Dennis, we're coming to the end, and I'd say it's been a pleasure to talk to you and great, great information that I know our dentists will benefit from. And Dental Network is phenomenal, what you guys do. And I know that they can find you online if they need some additional information. Is there anything else you want to add to our dentists?
I just have to tell you, I mean, dentistry is evolving in rapid way because all this managed care is going on and all these big companies buying dental practices. They know something about you that you don't know about yourself. The fact that it's a great business, okay? That's why people buy you. So make sure you learn other skills besides dentistry. Learn the communication skills. Learn business skills. Learn other things that nothing to do with dentistry because it's going to make you better. And just care for your patients, genuinely care for your patients, have team members that care for your patients, and find team members that work with you if it's a periodontist or orthodontist or any other specialty laboratories that can support your vision and your love for your patients. Because without delivering the final product, obviously, you will be embarrassed, right? So
yeah.
You have to really walk your talk, not just talk. And if anyone that wants to reach us out, you can email us, info@adar.net. And that's my email address, our company email address. And just send us an email if you'd like to be coached or have a problem, you want to ask questions, anything, and we'll serve anybody. I mean, we don't have exclusive high-profile dentists. We work with anybody, and we just make them better. Because if I can solve their problems, and I tell my clients, say, listen, the reason you work with me because I'm going to make you more money than you ever made because you met me, right? That's business. If you don't make more money because you met me, then we are not good together. And the same thing the other way around. If I don't make more money because I met you, it's not going to work. But I have ways to make them more money, you know. So that's what my propositions are.
That's phenomenal. Well, I appreciate it. You've been extraordinary. It's always some great information. And I know that our clients and industry is going to benefit from this podcast. So thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Stuart. And have an awesome day. And thank you, everybody.